Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you may be seated. So it's the beginning of a new church year. Not the calendar year, that's January, but it's the beginning of a new church year. Advent 1 starts the church calendar over again. And Advent is a season of preparation. Preparation for what? Christmas, right? If you ask any child at this time of year, what's coming? We got Thanksgiving out of the way. What's coming? Christmas, right? I always love in the movie A Christmas Story, at the very beginning, he says, the Christmas, the day around which the entire kid calendar revolves. Isn't that right? How many days? It's still November. They probably know how many days it is. And maybe you're working on your Advent calendar and deciding who eats today's piece of chocolate, all that wonderful stuff that's going on. Now, Advent is about this. Advent, season of preparation for Christmas, but Advent itself means the Lord is coming. That's what Advent means. He comes. The Lord is coming. That is the message of the Bible from front to back, that the mess that we're in, the pickle that we're in, the Lord will come, right? And not just another prophet, not a great reformer, but the Lord himself comes. So here's a question for us. Has the Lord come?
Yes.
Yes. Christmas, I do think it's in December, by the way, the birth of the Savior. I don't know the exact date, but I think somewhere around the 25th. Where was he born? Bethlehem. That wasn't a trivia question, guys. Come on, where was the Savior? Was that hard? Where was Jesus born?
Bethlehem.
Oh, whew, I was getting worried. Bethlehem, 5 BC. The reason I like to say those things is that when the Lord comes, I want us to be very, very clear about this. The Lord comes, that is not a metaphor. It is not a fable, right? It is not a myth. The Lord has come in space and time. At a particular place and at a particular moment, the Lord Jesus entered our world. God taking up human flesh. Bethlehem, 5 BC. Now, that's wonderful. Now, here's the deal. We're looking forward to Christmas. Advent is preparation for Christmas. Advent is the coming of the Lord. Why were we reading Matthew chapter 21? Didn't anybody think that? If Christmas is coming, why were Matthew 21 is Jesus entering the holy city on Palm Sunday. Isn't that was the gospel lesson today, right? Jesus entering the city. Well, Christmas is the birth of a baby. We get to the gospel lesson, and the baby is now a full-grown man. He's entering the holy city. Why is that? Have you ever wondered? Here's why. The Lord comes. The Lord comes over and over again. The Lord came in his birth, Bethlehem, 5 BC. The Lord came to the holy city. God had said the Savior would come. Isaiah prophesied the mountain of the Lord would be exalted. You know what that meant? It meant that God himself would come there. That's what it meant. And so Jesus comes. That's an Advent thing. The coming of the Lord, coming into the holy city, and all the crowd sang, Hosanna. Hosanna, the son of David. Hosanna to God in the highest heaven. He came at Bethlehem, but he came to Jerusalem, right? He came to the holy city. Now, why did he come to Jerusalem? To die. Right? We just got to say it just that directly. Why did Jesus come to Jerusalem? To die. To die for who? For us. I love Christmas. I love it. My favorite time of year. My house is already decorated. I did none of it. My wife decorates our house the day after Thanksgiving. We get so busy in December, she says if it's not done on Friday, it will not be done. The house looks like Christmas. Here's the thing. My wife comes to church Saturday night with her parents. I ask her, they sit right there. I said, honey, how many nativity scenes are in our house? And you know what she said? She said, a lot. She doesn't know. That's the point. It's more than 20. Is not the nativity scene a delightful scene? It's wonderful. It's romantic. The coming of the Savior as a baby. Why did he come? To die. We have to bear that in mind, that Christmas is wonderful. And as we think about it and as we celebrate it and all the lights and the beauty of Christmas, we have to bear in mind that the Lord Jesus entered human flesh, and having begun there, he is irreversibly on the road to the cross, right? One of my favorite Christmas hymns, it's in our hymnal, I'm glad to say, "What Child Is This?" It's a Christmas hymn, and one of the stanzas says, "Nail's spear shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you." That's exactly right. The Lord Jesus comes at Bethlehem to die. He comes to Jerusalem to die for you and for me and for our sins, right? We have to bear that in mind. Now, all of the readings of Advent are about the coming of the Lord. I'm going to look at them real quick here. We'll preach on them in the coming weeks. But this week, the triumphal entry. Does the Lord come? Yes, the Lord comes into the holy city of Jerusalem. Next week will be John the Baptist. Be like, why is John the Baptist in Advent? Because the Lord Jesus comes in ministry, right? The baby grows up. He's baptized by God. He begins his ministry. That's the coming of the Lord. The next week, believe it or not, is that question from John the Baptist. I love that text. We're going to talk about it. Where John the Baptist is in jail. Remember that text? And John the Baptist sends his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one to come, or should we look for someone else?" I'll preach on that text in a couple of weeks, but that, I'll say it this way here real quick. That is about the coming of the Lord to discouraged believers. Do believers ever get discouraged? Yes, and the Lord Jesus has a word for him. Advent 4 is finally Matthew 1, the coming of the Lord Jesus in his birth. That's Advent, the coming of the Lord at Bethlehem, the coming of the Lord in ministry, the coming of the Lord to the discouraged believer, the coming of the Lord to the holy city. The Lord comes. The Lord is yet to come again, right? That was the last couple weeks. The end of the church year is the second coming of the Lord. Actually, the Lord comes over and over again, but we always say the first coming, Bethlehem, 5 BC, his crucifixion, his death, his resurrection. When is the Lord coming again? Don't know, but I love the couple texts in the Bible that are about it. When we say Advent is about the coming of the Lord is coming again. We don't know when, but we know that, right, that he is. Here's a text. I love this text. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. I'm not quoting it, but it literally says that in the later times, people will say, "Where is this coming he promised?" Have we heard that? Where is this coming? The Lord Jesus is supposed to come back. It's been a long time. So what are some people going to say? He's not coming. The funny thing is, he is. And them saying that fulfills the prophecy of 2 Peter chapter 3. In fact, the more people say it, the closer we are, right? Now, here's our epistle lesson this morning. It said the same thing. Romans 13, 11, "Do this understanding the present time." I want to pause there. I love that phrase. Understanding the present time. When you're a pastor, people ask you theological questions. Here's the one I get constantly. "Pastor, do you think the coming of the Lord is soon?" I get asked that a lot. Why would people think that? They're paying attention to what's going on in the world, right? What's going on in the world? And people are reading and saying, "Pastor, is the Lord Jesus coming soon?" Well, the Bible says, understand the present time. That means you're actually supposed to be paying attention to what's going on in the world and saying, it feels like the Lord is coming soon, right? And this is what Paul says about it. He says, "The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber." That means we get stuck in normalcy. We forget to be expectant. "The hour's come to wake up because our salvation," hear these words, "our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." Do we know the date? No. But I will say this with Paul. It's closer. Right? It's closer than it used to be. Right? That calls for us to be awake. So, the coming of the Lord. At Bethlehem, in ministry, at the holy city, coming again at the end of time. I want to look a little bit at Matthew chapter 21 more particularly. The people were shouting, "Hosanna," which means "save us." Imagine, it implies, "Lord, save us." That's what people are saying, "Hosanna, Lord, save us." You know, one of the things they're saying is, the government won't be saving us. Right? Is that clear to everyone? They were in the same place. And they said, "Jesus, save us." You see the importance of the word? Save us. Lots of people are going to miss who he is, but some of them get it. Here's the Savior. Just like now, most people don't get it. Some of us do. Lord Jesus, save us. So here's the funny question. When Jesus was arrested and put on trial, what was the charge against him? Before the Romans, they said, "This man is a rebel," right? Because the Romans don't care about theology. They care about power. This man is leading a revolt. That's hogwash, of course. But before the Sanhedrin, the charge was, "This man claims to be the Messiah." Has that ever made you wonder a little bit? The charge is, "This man claims to be the Messiah." Well, that raises a question, doesn't it? The question is he? Right? Is Israel looking for the Messiah? If Israel is waiting expectantly, the Messiah is supposed to come. If the Messiah is going to come, isn't it going to be the case that someday this one will be the Messiah? So how would you know? This man claims to be the Messiah. Well, is he? It's a yes or a no. Is he the Messiah? And how would you know? Well, I think the best way would be to look at the Old Testament. Right? The Old Testament talks about the Messiah a lot. Micah 5, "But you, Bethlehem," right? "Out of you will come one to rule." Isaiah 7, "Behold, a virgin will conceive." Zechariah 9, "Behold, your king comes, gentle and riding a donkey." Does the Old Testament say a lot about the Messiah? It does. Direct prophecies just come out and say it. There's typological prophecies where people and events depict what the Savior will do, like Samson dying and saving his people. There's some very subtle hints and allusions. Everybody always, because of that, everybody counts differently. How many times does the Old Testament speak of the Messiah? I've always wondered that this week, for, I don't know why I'm so slow to get to this question. This week I looked up, how many times does the Old Testament allude or prophesy the Messiah? And you get different answers with different commentators. Here's who I looked up, and I'm going to mention why. There's a man named Alfred Adersheim. He lived from 1825 to 1889. Why do I want to listen to a guy from the 19th century? Here's one. Adersheim was raised Jewish. Do we care about what he says about the Old Testament?
Yes,
I do. He was raised Jewish, but he converted to Presbyterianism. So first of all, nobody's perfect, right? Later in life, he became a Presbyterian pastor, and later yet became an Anglican pastor. So close, right? So close. Jewish man, Christian, and pastor, and he wrote a book. I haven't read the book. It's long, written long ago, but I looked this up. He says that the Old Testament alludes to or specifically predicts the Messiah 456 times. Is that enough? Is Jesus the Messiah? I've often said, if not Jesus, then who? It's Jesus. Matthew says, and he said in our reading this morning, this happened to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Did you hear those words in the gospel reading? Matthew recounts the life of Jesus. Then he says, this happened to fulfill the word of the prophet. In one book, in just Matthew, it said elsewhere in Scripture, but in just Matthew, that said 15 times. Is Jesus the Messiah? Here's one of my favorite ones, Ezekiel. By the way, if you do the Bible reading plan in the bulletin, you just finished Ezekiel. And I know that you skimmed the last 8 chapters of Ezekiel, right? Because I did. But Ezekiel 34 says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel." He's saying the pastors, the priests of that era have been unfaithful. They've spoken wrongly about God. Ezekiel 34:11, behold, I myself will search for my sheep. Do you hear what God is saying? Who's coming? God is, right? Not a prophet. God is coming. God himself is coming. Most people missed it then. Most people miss it now. But he came at Bethlehem. He came in ministry. He came to the city. He came to the cross. I do have to say this. He comes here at the altar, right? I'm glad we have a sacramental theology. I think it's scriptural, first of all. But the Lord Jesus said, lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. And he also said, this is my body. This is my blood. The Lord is coming again, but we're going to gather around the altar for the Lord who comes. The Lord Jesus says he's coming, and not another. I myself, he says, I myself am coming. And why does he come? To save, right? Advent is about the coming of the Lord. And he does. And he does, and he does. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.